To the Matt Zediker Show, live from La Costa Mexican Restaurant. Now welcome the Domtar Tiger Sports Network's David McCurley.
Welcome in to La Costa. Come on down and lay up with one of these burritos in here, Tackle a Taco. We got chips and dip and all kinds of things going on here as we welcome in the head Tiger Coach Matt Zediker, also KJ McCurley and Clint Wright with me here on the Coach Zediker Show. First of all, Coach, how you doing?
Yeah, doing all right.
Hey, before I get to our ball game coming up tomorrow night, I think you were instrumental in, I don't know, maybe helping get that thing moved, but you and I will be able to watch the other Tigers on Friday night, maybe.
We will. That's if I don't go watch Comer and Vincent play.
Yeah, so. I'm sure I may be there, too. We got some guys that are kind of out of commission, but I know that my son across the way will let me know what's going on with the orange and blue, won't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I said this several times this week, talking about it feels different, but it's going to feel so good to get home on Friday and just watch college football. It's just a different dimension. It just puts you automatically in a good mood to end the week.
And personally, I don't like college football on Friday.
I don't
that
either.
Should be for high school.
It
football,
should be.
Yeah.
But then our partner here on the sideline is taking the long trip Friday down to Tallahassee.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm an Alabama graduate, so okay. I support the Tide. I know I'm the minority here, but
no, it's all right.
Decided to go down to Tallahassee. It's supposed to rain. Hopefully that slacks off at, you know, at game time, hopefully. But excited to see them travel and always wanted to see the pageantry of the opening tradition for that game at Florida State.
Absolutely. Well, let's dive in a little bit and talk a little bit about last Friday night before we get to our segment on Talladega. Coach, I said this with you in our interviews. I'll say it again. I was encouraged by a lot of things last week. First of all, four quarters of play. We outscored Fayetteville 14-0 in the fourth quarter. You got to be proud of the way your kids gave the effort.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the effort was there. That's kind of what we've been building all summer and in fall camp is we want to be a fourth quarter team. Felt like last year we were a first half team and couldn't get it done second half. So that's kind of been our mantra. It was nice to see we were down. You know, we were down three scores at one point, and they never wavered. We had some timely, kickoff return, got us right back in right for half. We had a big goal line stand at halftime to keep it close. And then we got to figure out how to score some of them points in those middle quarters, you know, and continue to fight in the fourth quarter. But yes, very proud of their effort. Had a chance to win. That's all I can ask. You know, we had the ball with, albeit about 12 seconds left, but we did have a chance.
And we completed a pass.
We did. And so, we got to build off that. But I think it was a game of missed opportunities. You know, we had a ton of turnover opportunities that we just did not squeeze on some picks and a fumble recovery. And, I think after we watched film and looked it all up, five really good opportunities where we could have turned the ball over. And three of those, Fayetteville ended up scoring on. And, you know, so that kills their drive and gives our offense another drive. And so I think that's where we came away with, we still had a really good chance to win this game. And that's just growing pains, you know, but we got to grow up now. We need to get hopefully all those missed opportunities out of the way, and we'll take advantage of some this Thursday.
Yeah, Coach Zediker, I think one thing I was impressed with is that I don't think it's any secret if you ask anybody around here familiar with Fayetteville's program, the strength is definitely up front for them.
Yeah.
They love getting behind those pads and letting their ball carriers get in space. And you mentioned the second half turnaround and the goal line stance to end the first half, kind of giving you some momentum going into that third quarter. I thought the defense in the second half, albeit you were without one of your leaders, I think that the defense in the second half gave everything they had.
They did.
And like we talked about in the car and we told you before the set, down 20 points, I don't think that's something we would have saw morale-wise from this Tiger team last year.
Yep.
You can just see that the energy and mentality is definitely on the up and up. And I also made the point with how well that ball was placed on the last drive,
yeah.
And Chambliss was able to go up and make an incredible sideline grab. I think if you guys had 10 more seconds, you could have probably made a push at the end zone. I really enjoyed seeing the time in the pocket. Don't matter about the score, just get the play done. And your guys gave everything they had. I'm looking forward to the next game.
Yeah, we are too. You know, here's the thing. We looked at it right there. We had three timeouts, you know, and we felt, all right, let's kick it deep, as deep as we can. We don't kick it real deep. But if we could have got the third down stop, all right, we would have had that extra time, but still had an opportunity, got it back, made him punt. But, listen, that's JJ's first varsity start as a quarterback, you know, and, he's a junior, and I thought, you know, he got the butterflies out pretty quick. He popped one quick for us, and that kind of got him going. And, you know, all in all, that he was probably one of our player of the games. He had over 100 yards rushing, over 100 yards passing. So you can't ask for nothing more of a young man's first start. At
he made some incredible plays. I'd like to preface that two-point conversion because it was so pivotal for you guys where you were on the scoreboard to not just score a touchdown but make the two as well. Two-point conversion might be one of the hardest plays in all of sports because there's only so much you can do that close to the goal line. And I thought the play that he made, picking it up off the ground, placing that ball, was probably one of the best things I've seen from a first start of a quarterback in a wow.
Yeah, and you got to give some props to Tay Fairman too. You know, he got open. You know,
he
got open on that 2-point. Yeah, he is. So it was good to see.
Coach, you talk about the middle quarters and finding some opportunities to score. Looked like, you know, somewhere midway through the third quarter, maybe early on, you decided to make a swap there on a few series. Let Tay get the ball at quarterback. What kind of spurred that, and how hard is it? I know you want him touching the ball, but how hard is it not being able to throw to him or run with him?
Well, listen, JJ took a shot. You know, he needed to catch his breath real quick, and we needed to get his inhaler for a second. And, listen, that's going to happen throughout the season. You know, Tay is that kind of playmaker, and if something's going wrong, we can automatically get the ball in his hands if we're snapping it to him. You know what I mean? And you know, he's a senior leader. He's a really good athlete, and we thought he did come in and give us a spark, and then we put JJ right back in there after he got, you know, got to feeling better. And again, I said it last week, 101 ways to get the ball to Tay. So
absolutely. I said we should tape it to him before we started the game.
Well, Coach, I'm going to ask one other thing before I get back to these guys and let them ask. You know, you talked about the missed opportunities of Fayetteville laying the ball on the ground and the interceptions. Correct me if I'm wrong. We didn't have a turnover, though.
We did not. Very
and
proud.
That was one thing that I was proud to see, and the fact that, you know, we had some snap issues at times, but we still didn't turn the ball over.
We didn't. So very fortunate for that. And when you can do that, you give yourself an opportunity to win, you know. And so, that's one of our game goals for our offense every week. And for a first game, you're always really scared. You know, are we going to be able to keep the ball? And we did. So that helped us have an opportunity there at the end.
Yeah, Coach, we mentioned, of course, Tay Fairman, rightfully so. I should know I played basketball with him a few summers ago, and that was a nightmare for me to try to guard that. That's all I'm going to say. But he's even more havoc on the football field. But I thought there were other players on the offense that kind of took the pressure and a little bit of the attention off of Tay Fairman and said, hey, don't forget about me. Most notably, Caden Chambliss had a kickoff return touchdown for you and caught a touchdown as well. Had another great sideline catch to end the game. I really liked the way that he stepped up. And you had some guys in the backfield when they got opportunities that I thought were ready to run. And how important is it to with a quarterback new to the system, new to starting in high school, and a receiver like Tay Fairman, how important is it to have a balanced attack and take some of that pressure off of those guys as good as they are and as often as you want them to have the ball?
Well, it's important because you can't key on just one. You know, Caden's a 4-4 guy, 4-4 40, you know, and so he gives us the guy that can take the top off. He's a threat in our return game. And then he flips around, he plays corner for us. You know, Tay had an opportunity to be, maybe if he catches, you know, three of those picks, he might be the player of the week, you know. But still had a tremendous game for us, you know, so it is important. One big addition we're going to get this week, we get Devin Williams back this week. So we played him. We had him on a pitch count last Friday. I think we played him right at 12 plays, and he cramped on that 12th play. he was out of shape. We just got him back Wednesday. So there's another threat, you know. And so pick your poison, you know. And our running game, you know, I thought Dallas Brown, he came in and gave us a spark. That's another young back, a sophomore. And then Kevin Chapman's our bruiser in there. So, you know, listen, we also did that with some freshman linemen.
And
I don't know if y'all knew, our starting offensive tackle, Cameron Young, didn't play. He was sick all week, and about Friday afternoon, his throat started swelling shut. So we had to really move around some people on the line. And then, you know, when Justice got the penalty and he was out, man, if you looked out there, there was a lot of young cats out there. So kudos to them, man. That's why we practice, and they got to be ready when their time's called.
Coach, we talked about it being a short week this week. You know, we were talking before the broadcast about how you changed your schedule. You just moved everything a day up.
Yeah.
Kind of keeping the same routine, per se. Are the kids more excited about tomorrow night after the first game, or do you think they was more excited during the first game?
I think they're excited to get back on the field and prove that they left a lot of opportunities out there in the first game. You know, the great thing about this game is you got to hold a bad taste in your mouth if you lose for a week, and then you get to do it again. And so we owned that. You know, we talked about it all week. We worked our tails off. And so they're excited. They're excited being one of the only games in the state. You know, so when you play Thursday, you get the spotlight some. And then you know, and so we'll see. They're ready to go play another game and try to get their first W.
We're going to talk more with Coach Matt Zediker on the Matt Zediker Show here at La Costa. Come on by and get some of this great food, chips and dips, and we got you ready here. Downtown Sylacauga, we'll have more with the head Tiger here. When we come back, you are listening to the Coach Matt Zediker Show.
Don't let high costs keep you from owning your first home. Coosa Pines Federal Credit Union's first-time homebuyer program breaks the barriers. As little as 5% down, no PMI, no origination fees, and local service from start to finish. Finally, a mortgage made for real people with real budgets. Coosa Pines is online at CoosaPinesFCU.org and available by phone at 256-378-5559. Coosa Pines Federal Credit Union, where you belong. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Get ahead of winter and save with Coosa Valley Propane September pre-buy. Lock in your propane supply at an extremely discounted rate when you purchase a minimum of 100 gallons. Stock up now and enjoy the peace of mind when cold weather arrives. Don't wait. This offer ends September 30th. Call Coosa Valley Propane now at 256-362-4780 and secure your savings today.
When it comes to bones, joints, and sports injuries, trust the expert care of Dr. Anthony Troppiano at Coosa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Troppiano is known for providing outstanding results with a personal touch, helping patients get back to work, back to sports, and back to life. From advanced surgical care to everyday orthopedic treatment, you're in good hands. Coosa Valley Orthopedics and Sports Medicine.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Matt Zediker Show on the Domtar Tiger Sports Network. Driven by Toyota of Sylacauga. Worth the drive and they'll prove it. Online at toyotaofsylacauga.com.
We've got the head Tiger in here, Coach Matt Zediker, getting ready for Talladega. We're going to turn our attention to that. But before we do, one thing I'm going to say, and I know Matt knows him, our good colleague for the B.B. Comer Sports Network, Tony Wyatt, as I mentioned before, with Coach Fawcett. Going to send out our condolences and prayers to him. He lost his brother this last weekend, Rudy, and, of course, his funeral's tomorrow. So just keep them in your prayers. But, Coach, you know, last year, of course, one win on the season. That one win came against Talladega. You know that Coach Dorsey and those guys don't want that hat hanging on their rafters this year. You know they're going to be ready. We got to go up there to that old Mary Dumas. You've been there. You played there. Talk a little bit about what you know about his system, his kids, and what we can expect tomorrow night.
Yeah, so, you know, Coach Dorsey's in his second year, right? And so anytime you've had a year to establish your system and have a full year in the weight room and your culture, that's invaluable. What I do know about this Talladega team is they're talented. You know, they got some very big linemen. Talladega's always got big linemen. They got they're a very fast team. Offensively, he's mixing the wing T with a spread concept, kind of call it a spread wing or a wing spread. Defensively, he's going to line up and he's going to bring a lot of pressure packages from different ways. And so, and then special teams, man, I think special teams kept them in the game last week against White Plains. They had a big return. So we're going to have to definitely be a lot better in our special teams. We're going to be strategic of who we kick the ball to, if we kick to them at all. You know, there's going to be a lot of balls going out of bounds if we have to punt, hoping we're not punting much. And then, we're going to have to tackle better. I thought as a defensive unit, you know, we did not tackle real well. So you can rest assured we worked very hard on that this week, rallying to the ball a little bit better. But, listen, he presents a lot of challenge to us with the athletes he has. One advantage, if it is an advantage, I'm sure he's got him in good shape, is he's only dressed around 28 to 30. So, you know, we're hanging our hat on that. You know, let's get him in the fourth quarter again. Maybe our depth can help right there. But we're going to have to withstand their fast start. Try to make them earn everything, you know, and not give up the explosive play, the long play that can get them quick points. And if we can do that and settle in and do what we do, we like our game plan. We like what we're doing offensively. We like what we're doing defensively. So it's going to be a battle, all right? It's not going to be easy. It's our first road game. It's not on a Friday. It is a little out of routine, but we kept it the same as we can. And so we got to go up with a business-like attitude, you know, go in. And again, about like I said last week, we got to make sure we're doing what we do well. You know, I mean, obviously we got to get our checks and everything, but we got to get lined up. We got to make sure we're coming up on the ball on the now routes. We got to make the first tackle or at least make him stop. And then offensively, you know, just the mistakes. Just we can't have a missed snap or drop a snap in the middle of the drive. Right now, we're not built for that as an offense. And so those are just drive killers. And so that's been kind of the focus. Work on us, and we've worked a lot on special teams this week as well. Try to sew them up some too.
Yeah, Coach, you mentioned the defense again right there with kind of a few lackluster tackle attempts.
Yeah.
I thought it came down to just not taking good angles. Your guys were in position half the time, but it just seemed like some of the angles were off. And I know that drove you crazy as a defensive guy. But, you know, playing a team like Talladega, I personally thought when you guys sent a fourth or a fifth from different ways,
yep,
either this outside or this outside linebacker, I thought it posed a lot of issues for a senior-laden Fayetteville offensive line.
Yep.
You know, going forward, I know you don't want to tell everybody your defensive game plan, but how aggressive do you see your defense being tomorrow night against some good athletes?
Very. You know, we want to confuse blocking schemes. You probably saw a couple different things we did last week where we stand our linemen up and we do a little prowl. So we're going to give an illusion. It's smoke and mirrors, man. Look over here and we're coming from over here. You know what I mean? And so we felt like as a defensive staff, you know, Coach Jackson's our defensive coordinator. He was kind of kicking himself about he didn't send enough five and six man pressures. We stuck to a lot of four man pressures. But guys, if you look out on that field, man, there was a lot of kids making their first varsity start.
Absolutely.
You know? So
Absolutely.
We were really just trying to ease them in. And so, you know, that's the beauty of a season. The farther along you get, the more comfortable they get with it, and they can just play instead of thinking so much. So you're going to see a lot more pressure packages this week, you know, and hope we can and get some confusion and get through that line and then bring some different things. You know, we're trying to mix up our coverages a lot, too, where you think you got this and you don't. And so, you know, it's keep working and execute it.
Coach, it's hard enough at home to kind of hold your composure on penalties and limit those. How do we do it on the road?
Just, you know, rely on what we did last week, how we reacted, and let's learn from it. You know what I mean? There was a couple 15-yarders that absolutely killed us, that gave them new life. In particular, we had one. It's going to be 4th and 14 on their 4-yard line, and we gave them one. And so that's just, you know, that's mental. That's being mature. That's handling, you know, handling adversity, someone trying to play through the whistle on you. Walk away and let's go play again, you know. And it's just the other thing is understanding where we are in the game. You know, if we just got to stop and we know it's about to be 3rd and long, we can't react to something like that, you know, and have a personal foul or anything like that. So, again, it's a sign of a young team that's mature. And so we definitely have some reminders for all those penalties. We got a little thing we do for every yard you cost us. And so that kind of opened their eyes this week. And so they understand now. But, you know, I don't want them thinking about – I want them to play fast, play hard. But the ones they can control, controllable penalties, we got to be better at that.
You know, Coach, all coaches, most of them say you want to make your biggest gains between week one and week two. I want to move aside from the kids for just a second because you've talked a lot about that. Let's talk about your coaching staff. That applies to coaches as well, because in that first game, you see so many things
you do
that we can improve on.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give away your secrets, but this week at practice, what was the first priority, maybe a list of things? What was the first thing you guys attacked going into your meetings over the weekends, film, and going into practice this week? What was the first thing you wanted to do?
First was missed opportunities. You know, second, we had to address special teams. Third was personnel. You know, we saw some things from some kids that we didn't know had it in them, and we saw some things that we thought they had it in them, and they didn't quite show it. You know, so it's finding those grouping, those personnel groupings that are going to give us the best grouping on the field at certain situations to help us win. So it's just that, but mainly letting these kids see on film what we're seeing. You know, a lot of times a kid doesn't understand why a coach is getting upset on the sideline. They think they did something well or wasn't that bad, but then they see it and they're like, okay, I see it now. You know, and so that was the main thing, opening their eyes to what we're seeing. Do you see the opportunities we saw that we missed? They did. And so now, you know, we didn't have many of that in practice because they saw it. So it's just correcting correctable mistakes, you know. That's the biggest thing. You can't correct effort, and I thought effort was there. You know, and so those type of mistakes, man, we can correct those.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment 100%, Coach. And I think the more that, as you said, with the groupings, the offense gets more familiar with each other. We talked about it. Two new offensive linemen make their first start. Your quarterback, JJ, makes his first start. You had Caden Chambliss, I think started a game last year.
Maybe one, but
still a fairly new high school starter. And you guys answered the bell. You know, we talked about going from week one to week two. What kind of growth are you expecting to see from your offense in particular? We talked about the defense and how we feel about those guys. What are your goals for your offense this week?
One starts up front with the biggins. You know, I think sustaining blocks a little bit longer is going to help. I mean, with the backfield we got, man, we need a sliver for them to get through to get to the second level. And so we worked hard on sustaining our blocks and then climbing to the next level. You know, we got a lot of double teams at any given play we got, so we worked hard on that. You know, routes, you know, make sure we're running the routes. Big time blocking in the perimeter, because if we do get loose, that's the difference if we bust one or not, if we can stay on those DBs a little bit. And then just keep executing, you know. The game plan we got put in, make sure we understand it, and just keep getting better.
Coach, two things I want to talk to you about. First of all, I want to say thank you for the halftime interview you gave. I thought, you know, it was much more exciting, you know, after the big stop.
I didn't know it was a magic.
I loved it. You were gracious with your time. We know you have duties and responsibilities to get to back in that field house, but you answered honestly and you took time with us. And just want to say thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the other part, one thing I noticed from the sideline was the coach's leadership. A lot of vocal. There was a lot of pointing and guiding and directing, and that was super encouraging to see. Not saying that wasn't done before.
Sure.
But does that come from the coaches you made changes to, or is that an attribute that you teach, and how do they make that even more?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, you know. I'd say I'm probably got a touch of OCD in me. I'm almost over-organized, and the coaches make fun of me, but we practice that stuff, you know. I mean, it's the difference in winning or having a good play or something, you know, in that split second. Like, you got to know if a kid's gone down and we got to replace him on a special team, you know. And so every coach on that field, on that sideline, and the ones in the boxes have a specific job that I've given them. And here's what you got to look at. And we practice it. We practice it daily. We practice it at practice. And so that way in the game it becomes natural. And we practice this with the kids. So, you know, they're bought into what we're doing and that's a must to be successful. You got to be organized.
You know, Coach, Clint mentioned something about the sideline and everything, and this is no disrespect to Johnny Johnson. Everybody at this table loves him more than anybody in the world. But in seasons past, even 7-8 years ago, when one thing bad would happen, it seemed to barrel roll. You seen heads down.
Yeah.
We didn't see any of that the other night. That's a tribute to you and your coaching staff, as you talked about. And it takes that as a whole, because you're trying to watch that game. You're right. Trying to watch. And I got to be honest with you, I love the fire in you the other night with the officials sometimes, because I thought we got the raw end of a few calls. Nothing. I mean, each team is going to get that. Don't sure. get me wrong. But the kids see you standing up for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that makes a difference. I really do.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you got to credit our kids as well. You know, you got to put them in those situations before Friday night, and you know that's what we've tried to do throughout camp, throughout summer, is put them in situations where there's going to be failure. How do we react to it? And then game like situations. You know, we play the game every Thursday morning. Today was Wednesday morning. We practice our sideline procedures. We practice how we get everything on. I'm going to get fiery with a referee if it warrants it.
You know what I mean? And then
and then sometimes I know they're right, but I got to still get fired up on them so the kids see it, you know?
Right.
Not in a disrespectful manner. We're never going to blame a referee for anything. You know, that's what I tell them one thing. You know, we can't control that. But on the flip side of that, I want that referee to know, hey, I'm watching, you owe me one. You know, at one point, we were down 5-0. And so you got to put that in their ear now, you know?
Couple of things real quick before we get out of here. First of all, if you could just real quick tell us, what have we got to do tomorrow night? Give me three things we got to do to beat Talladega.
We got to tackle. Okay. We got to tackle way better. We have to be really good in our special teams, both on the offensive special teams and defense special teams, because of their athletes. They're going to come after everything we got punt-wise. We got to be solid in our coverage on kickoff team. We got to make sure we're blocking on our kickoff return, field goal, everything that we do, and then just execute. You know, we got to execute, we got to block. I mean, football's not real hard. We can do them three things. You know, the first guy we worked for used to write it on the board. He'd write block, tackle, and execute. If you can do those three things, you got a good opportunity. So that's what we're kind of breeding in our kids.
And last before we go, we talked about things that happened that you can't control, but last Friday night at your alma mater and mine and Clint's good friend of ours, Joey Sheldon, went down as an official with a heart attack.
Scary.
And I got to tell you, kudos to everybody who helped get that man back to life.
Absolutely.
And you know, you've been through situations like that on the field and everything, and how hard it is for everybody to do their part.
Yeah.
It's just like a football team.
It is. It is. And kudos, you know, shout out to Lou Murphy, you know, who did the compressions on him. You know, Joey and I grew up together. We played football together, went to school together. And so you never want to see that. But, you know, thank the good Lord. I think he flatlined three times, but it wasn't his time to go. God didn't want him yet. And I know he's a good Christian man. And so, you know, we praise God for that and are very blessed that everybody's on their P's and Q's and got Joey back. So I'm glad he's doing better now.
KJ, you ready for tomorrow night?
Coach, I couldn't be any more ready. I'm so happy I get to leave school tomorrow, go get my wife home from work, and just come enjoy Thursday night football.
Yeah,
it's a different dynamic. I love it no matter what time it's played, but it gives the kids something else to look forward to that they're maybe not used to.
That's right.
I'm excited to see the week one to week two growth. I think we're going to see some good things tomorrow night.
Well, that's the plan.
And Clint, I know you've got a long ride on Friday for Saturday's game, but we got a game to tackle tomorrow night.
We got football first to handle on Thursday night.
And that's right.
Really looking forward to it, Coach. Saw a lot of promising things.
Yeah.
Looking forward to more execution tomorrow night.
Well, that's the plan. And make sure you flag me down, because I was on full speed running to that field house. And then I saw you. I was like, oh, yeah, I got to stop and talk. So,
Coach, good luck tomorrow night.
Well,
we'll be there.
It.
And Tiger Nation will be there on Kicks 100.3. Good luck. And always go Tigers.
Let's go to work. Go Tigers.